In the last couple of years, in the city of Winnipeg, we've seen a rise of P3s. P3s stand for public-private partnerships. Now, this is a new term to many in the city of Winnipeg. So, are P3s beneficial to the city? I talked with Professor of Economics John Luxley at the University of Manitoba.
So, what is a P3 and how does it work, essentially?
Well, there's two broad types. Mm-hmm. The first type is where the private sector not only builds a piece of infrastructure, because in Canada, it's only the private sector that builds. Okay, but usually the government would commission a building and then would borrow the money for that building, would own the building and would manage the building. And in a P3, what happens is that the private sector not only builds the building, but it may also own the building, finance the building, manage the building, and lease it back to the public sector. So that's the first type. In other words, the private sector is getting involved in things that were traditionally public sector. The second type is where the public sector hands over an operating budget for a facility. It doesn't hand over the facility necessarily, but hands over the operating budget, say, for a waste plant, and to the private sector and says, well, you run it, and if you can save money, we can share it. So these are the two main types.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems to me suddenly there's all these projects in Winnipeg all of a sudden are being used mm-hmm, for P3s. What was one of the first projects in Winnipeg to use a P3?
The first project was the Charles Wood Bridge. Mm-hmm. And that's a $10 million project, at least the part that was PPP'd was $10 million. A 20-year project, I believe. And it was the first one of its type.
All of Canada or in Winnipeg?
In Winnipeg.
Okay.
And it had some innovative features in that the bridge was design-built. So it was being designed as it was built. And that saved a bit of money up front. But, and that's maybe not a bad thing, but you don't have to then privatize the bridge. You know, if you want to do it that way, you can do it. I mean, you do potentially bring the project into budget. But of course, if there's cost overruns, then they redesign it. So you get a different kind of bridge. Mm-hmm. And that's how they do it. And it's not a popular approach for architects and engineers. They don't like that because they lose control. But they did that, and that side of it was done fairly well. But the costs of building the bridge that way, we borrowed money at 11.05%, which is 2% more than the city could have borrowed. Now, we've been stuck with 11.05 since the bridge was built in the late 90s, even though interest rates are now a half or less than that. And then you ask, well, you know, why don't we just get out of the deal? Well, it's a long-term deal, and there's penalties if you get out of it. So in 2008, if you'd wanted to get out of it, we'd already paid $15 million on a $10 million bridge by 2008, and it would have cost us another $17.5 million to get out of the deal. So that side of things was not, you know, I mean, that's the problem with these deals, is they're very inflexible. And in that case, we were tied into incredibly high interest rates, and of course the private sector would have refinanced those interest rates, and they would make the money on the lower interest rates rather than the city. Also, there were what are called transactions costs. These deals are very complicated. You need lawyers to set up ownership deals and leasing deals and that kind of thing. And that costs between $1 and $2 million extra. And the financing cost, because the private sector is always more expensive than the public sector. We've got a pretty good credit rating in Winnipeg, so we can borrow fairly cheaply. But the private sector costs of borrowing also were much higher. So the deal ends up being a much more expensive deal than it would have been otherwise, in spite of these coming in on time building, right? And we're tied into a deal that is really not a very good deal.
Yeah, well, and also too, why the sudden rise in the use of P3s? Like there's Chief Teglis,
yes.
The Viollet deal.
Three police stations. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, why the sudden rise?
Well, this is an ideological position. It's certainly good for business. It's not necessarily good for the city, and in some cases, it's ridiculous for the city. I mean, the Veolia deal is really not a good deal. We don't even know what the deal is. But it can't be a good deal if it's a 30-year deal and he won't tell us what the deal is, right? I mean, it's just not a good deal. And to ram this thing through council, with the council not really knowing what's in it, is not the way to go. Now, at least he's backed off private ownership of the plant, which is, I think, originally the intention. Because of public pressure from the Council of Manitoba Women and other groups, CCPAE, and a whole bunch of other groups, forced him, I think, to back off that. If he thinks that Veolia, the expertise of Veolia staff is needed to run the new plant, you know, if it's a complicated plant, I have no idea, then, you know, there wouldn't be anything wrong, in my opinion, with a what I call a turnkey project. You bring some Veolia staff on for 2 or 3 years to train city staff. You don't need them for 30 years. This is ridiculous. And the fact that he won't disclose the deal is outrageous. I mean, I do have the Charleswood Bridge deal because I FIPPED it. I mean, through Freedom of Information. I got most of the deal, except for the maintenance side. Whether I don't think you could do that. I don't think they would release whatever
someone
they
has already
deal
tried, uh-huh. actually, from our news department.
Right.
And they didn't. I don't think it's gone through.
No.
They
haven't so released anything. It's not the way to do business.
No, I suppose it seems like there's two sides of it as far as the justification for a P3, which is more efficient, and as well as because, let's say, in the case of Winnipeg, where we have rising debt, is that it's cheaper. So what are your responses to the efficiency and its cheaper?
Yeah, let's deal with the cheaper one first. We don't have rising debt in Winnipeg. We have falling debt. City debt's been falling for years. And we have a strong credit rating in Winnipeg. AA, plus, and whatever, depending on the bond rating agency. So we can borrow fairly cheaply. And we have borrowing room. If you go the P3 route, as we are doing, and you then lease the facilities, you're basically paying a debt. So let's say Chief Pegasus. I don't know how many years it is. I have it someplace, but I don't have it on me. So let's say 25, 30 years. We are committing ourselves to leasing that bridge for 25, 30 years. That is the same as incurring debt. So what the bond houses do is they add up all those leases, bring them back to present value, and add it to your debt. So you're not saving anything. I mean, it's debt, right? So it's a debt by any other name. So that's that on the debt side. And we could finance it ourselves. It'd be a lot cheaper if we did it ourselves. On the efficiency side, well, the efficiency takes a number of points of view. I mean, first of all, I've dealt with the building on time and cost overruns. And it's argued the private sector is better at that than the public sector. Well, you know, the private sector is always the one that builds these things. The public sector never builds them. So if there are cost overruns, it's cost overruns are mainly incurred by the private sector. You know, you can tighten up on how these things work, as we should, you know, so we don't have overruns as much as possible. But ultimately, if the cost of construction is going up, you're going to pay for it. You can pay for it two ways. You can pay for it in giving the private sector more money when they come in with their bills, which is usually what happens. That's what happened with the London Tube or the Channel Tunnel, to use well-known international examples. Or you can stay with a fixed price, and then they will redesign it as they go. So you get an inferior product. So you cannot. There's no cheap and easy way around cost overruns. You have to make sure the public sector is being as efficient as possible, and that that you negotiate good deals. You can use insurance clauses and different ways of doing it. The other side of efficiency is that usually the PPP proponents argue that there's something like 14% to 17% saving if you do the PPP route. That number comes from the United Kingdom. It was based on 29 projects which had not been implemented, but which had been on paper compared, you know, what a PPP would do with what they call a public sector comparative. The public sector did it. those numbers were taken apart by Professor Pollock, who went into some depth on these, and she's published this, and showed that 80% of those savings came from one project, which has been run by the consulting group that was doing the analysis, which is Anderson Consulting, which we know no longer exists, right? And it was their project, and it was never built. But that 14-17% was picked up in Canada, and you can find it in the BC Partnerships website. You can find it in the International Monetary Fund. They have a paper on P3s, and they use it too, quite uncritically. So I would argue that we shouldn't be doing that. What we should be doing is developing proper public sector comparators. So what would it cost if the public sector did it? And try and find somebody honest to do that. Because if you bring in the people pushing P3s, they're going to say, well, it's more expensive. And you need somebody who's honest. And usually the people who come forward with the honest account of these things in just about every province are the provincial auditors. And the provincial auditors have taken these things apart. And there are very few of them that survive the criticism of the provincial auditors. The most recent one being Quebec. But Ontario's done it, New Brunswick's done it, Alberta's done it, BC's done it. And they're usually quite scathing because the arguments are not fulfilled. I'm not saying that, you know, they can't always, that they're not ever better or efficient. But the evidence is pretty thin. And the main arguments are those: efficiency, cost savings, getting the debt off the book. The big argument now for efficiency is transferring risk. That if you can transfer risk to the private sector, then and you pay for it, but you come out ahead. But that risk transfer has to do mainly with design and build. It's mainly at the front end, and we've dealt with that. And you can deal with it with design build agreements, or you can do it other ways. But I think the arguments for P3s are fairly—they're not very strong, and there's a lot of evidence to show that the public sector ends up paying for these deals.
Hmm. Just one last quick question: I guess the justification for the Viola deal is that the services in the city are poorly managed, poorly run, and that's why you need specifically water and waste. Mm-hmm. What is your response to that? Well, our public sector services are just so god awful that we need to have.
Well, let's be very clear. We're not talking water. We're talking waste here. And the water side of things is quite different. And as far as I know, there are no complaints about the water. Of course, Veolia would probably like to get into water, but there's no argument for that. On the waste side, I mean, a lot of it has to do, and when we talk about mismanagement, a lot of it has to do with the old technology that we're using. And it's just, you know, just not built to do what it's supposed to do. And I think the argument about management is not demonstrated. It's fairly easy to knock the public sector. Of course, for the last 10 years, we've been cutting back in the public sector, so would it be any surprise if we didn't have the expertise? But if you can hire the right people, and many people would argue we already have them in Winnipeg. It's not by any means a foregone conclusion that these guys don't know what they're doing. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, how many years do you need to bring them up to scratch, or to hire people to bring them up to scratch? I would have thought 3 years would be more than enough time to do that. Pay them for that. No objections to that. But don't lock into a 30-year deal. Maybe it makes no sense.
In the future, in the city of Winnipeg, we will probably see more proposals for public-private partnerships. The only question is whether or not the citizens of Winnipeg will accept this or fight it. For People of Interest, I'm Scott Price.